Amen. Well, Mike has just sung and reminded us once again about what the purpose of Christmas was, the answer to Christmas. I sat down yesterday with Marilyn and two other couples, and spent some time discussing matters of life and all kinds of things that were happening in all of our lives, and it just all of a sudden hit me that we needed to make sure that we understood that in this season of the year, what it's all about. And so I made the comment to them that just remind yourself, and I've shared this with y'all, some of this may be new to you, you may not have heard this yet, but Jesus is not the reason for the season, as much as we hear about that. He's not the reason for the season. We are. We are the reason for the season. We are the reason. Call his name Jesus, for shall save his people from their sin. So God in heaven sent to us his Son for the very purpose of saving us from our sins. So therefore, Christmas is all about us. Sounds strange, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. It sounds so paradoxical from what we've heard all of our many, many lives. And so therefore, we're looking at Christmas from heaven's point of view. And there it is. It's a present. But it's also a presentation. And so I want to invite you to find your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. There's only two Gospels in the four Gospel accounts that we have in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Only Matthew and Luke present the story, if you please, or the account of Christmas. And the birth, the coming of Jesus, and so therefore, I want us to look at it from heaven's viewpoint as a present. And that's exactly what, if you were to look in a dictionary, a Webster's dictionary, an unabridged dictionary, some dictionary of your choice, collegiate dictionary, you'd find out that a present, very, very minutely, is a gift. It is a gift. That's what a present is. Hopefully it has been given with the right motive. So I don't know if sometimes gifts can be given in spite of and to despite people. But nonetheless, a present is a gift. But if you look on in your definition as to the word presentation, you will see that it is defined as the act of giving something to someone. So that's the reason we've wrapped these two thoughts and these two words around to make one in heaven's viewpoint of Christmas, and that is, it is a presentation. It is the gift given by someone to someone. And that's what heaven is. That's what heaven has done for us. And so therefore, I want you to take your Bible and look at this beautiful account in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. It says that in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in their fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. So many of us have heard this for so many years. Matter of fact, I can still remember as a little boy at Second Baptist Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas, my mom and dad dressed me up in a bathrobe, tied that little sash around me, and gave me a stick from outside of our house or something like that, and I was going to be a shepherd. I always wanted to be a wise man. But never got to be Joseph. You know, grateful I was never married, but never got to be Joseph. But always was a shepherd. But there's something about these shepherds. I think sometimes we need to see Christmas from their viewpoint as well. But anyway, we've heard this account so many times. And in verse 9, it says, "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them," and this is very important that you hear what the angel said. If you'll listen very carefully, the angel is really saying three things. I'm going to direct your attention to that in just a moment. But listen to this. I want to read the account, and then we'll go back to it. Listen to what the angel says. First, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you," here's the second thing, "good news." Here's the third thing, "great joy." "The angel of the Lord said, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.'" Now let's stop there for just a moment and just think about a present. Or, in the reality of it, the presentation. From heaven's viewpoint, Christmas is both. And so I want you to see, beginning there again in Luke chapter 2, and I want you to direct your attention to verse 9 specifically. I want you to see the action of heaven. Now, you've got a little study guide with you in your worship bulletin if you wanted to fill in the blanks. I'm going to give you about three words here in just a moment. But I want you to see first and foremost that Christmas came as a result of the action from heaven. It didn't come as a result of, you know, the Black Friday sales. It doesn't come as a result of somebody putting up their Christmas tree or decking their, you know, halls with bells of holly. It doesn't come as a result of the Christmas carols coming out or we getting some time off or, quote, the Christmas holiday. No, Christmas came from heaven. It's the action. It is the action of heaven. And I realize that we get around the 25th of December, which in all reality, folks, and I don't want to dispel this as well, we do that in our celebration. We make it December the 25th, but there's a very good indication that it wasn't around the 25th of December. That's not good traveling time over in that part of the world, but be that as it is, we'll let that one slide for just a while. But Christmas began a long time before, if you want to, December the 25th, okay? A long time before that. As a matter of fact, Christmas really began a long time before Jesus was born. I look at this scene over here in the manger, and I really trust that you'll take time to come and to maybe even spend the time meditating and just thanking the Lord for hope and faith as we are looking at these particular times of this Advent season. And this manger scene here that has been placed here, and also that has been displayed here is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you can come and look at that. Now, don't take the gold, all right? Just keep it where it's supposed to be. But it started so far beyond. Why? Because the action of heaven. God knew, and this is all free. This is not really part of the message, so this is all free. God knew that we were going to be in trouble. God knew that. He knew that man was going to sin. He knew that we were going to fall. He knew that our first mom and dad, Adam and Eve, were going to disobey and rebel against His commandment to them, and so He knew all of that was going to happen, and as a result, long before that, He knew we were going to need help. And so what does heaven do? Heaven goes to action. Goes to action. And that's exactly what verse 9 kind of reveals to us. Look at it again. Notice what it says. There's a message. There's a message from heaven. There in your study guide, you might just want to insert that word, heaven. But it says there that an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. Now, before that, just moments before that, it was just business as usual. Business as usual. Mike made reference to those sheep and those guys, and you're probably exactly right, Mike, that these were guys that probably raised lambs for the priest and or for the temple, and so therefore these, they're one among many because there were so many sacrifices in that day and time. And so here they are. It's just business as usual, just another night on the job. A little did they realize that heaven had already been in the process. Thousands, millennia, eternity past, God had already been working that this specific night, heaven was going to reveal a message. And I want you to look down at verse 10 and 11 and notice that message is a message of hope. And thank you for revealing that throughout the music and throughout this time of conversation and just related to these children that were sitting before about this message of hope. Now, let me make sure that we understand that we're all on the same page when we're talking about hope. Okay? I hope it doesn't rain this week. Because I want to go out and play. You ever said something like that? I hope that they get here on time. Because everything's going to be almost ready. I hope that my check comes in. Because I've got bills to pay. I hope the doctor doesn't say ta-da, and I hope that he says ta-da. You ever used terminology like that before? Have you ever brought yourself into that wishful thinking, wishful anticipation of that word of hope? I hope he kisses me because I like him. I hope that she doesn't burn the... You know, have you ever said things like that before? You notice how quickly I stopped. I hope that is a sort of a wishful anticipation of an action that may or may not come to pass. And a lot of times we talk about Jesus being the blessed hope, or that here is this wonderful message in, at Christmas about hope, and we've got it right on the back wall of this place of fellowship. Hope. I see it. I can read it. H-O-P-E. And sometimes we get it in our, well, I hope this comes to pass. I hope that He'll save me. I hope that He'll give me everlasting. Well, I don't know. I hope that comes to pass. And that's not at all, ladies and gentlemen, dear family of God, that is not at all the New Testament or the Bible definition of hope. Can I tell you what it is? Did you know that the word hope in the Bible means a confident expectation? That's what hope is. Looking for that blessed hope. You know what Paul was saying when he said that? He said, I am confidently expecting Him to show up. That's what he's talking about. And this message of hope was not something, guys, I'm hoping it's going to come to pass, the angel of the Lord said. It might be coming, but I don't know. Just keep anticipating it. No, that's not what the angel of the Lord said. No, this is a great, wonderful message of hope. Now, if you look down at verse 10 and 11, you'll see some of the content of this message of hope. Notice the spirit of this message. And that's the reason I want to direct your attention to those three terms that the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them in verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone around, and they were terribly frightened. And then all of a sudden he said, let me ease your pain, guys. I'm going to portray the spirit of this message that you're about to hear and that's coming your way. So therefore, he says, don't be afraid. Now, we're small enough that we could just have a little interactivity right now, and we got enough time to do this. In your mind, and you can participate, you can say something if you'd like to, but in your mind and in your thoughts, what's the opposite of being afraid? Confidence. Grace. Courage. How about not being afraid? How's that one fit? That fits me real good, because sometimes I'm just full of fear. And yet the angel of the Lord says, don't be afraid. And how many times are we afraid? Well, you know what we need? We need a message of hope. We need that confident expectation that fear is going to be dealt with. But that's not all he says. Look at verse 10 again. He says, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? Good news. This message of hope not only has a spirit of don't be afraid, but it also has the spirit or the atmosphere of good news. Now, once again, let's just have a little conversation here. Let's just, everybody participate. If you were to try to define or try to understand or try to describe the opposite of good news, what would you come up with? Bad news. Yeah. Doom and gloom. Yeah, catastrophe. Chaos. The whole bottom has fallen out. You ever heard that? You know, some people get their terminology mixed up. You ever met people like that, that they're trying to give you the joke and they tell you the punchline right in the middle of it? And they mess everything up. Well, I knew a guy that would mess everything up. And on this very thing, you know, he said, hey, listen, preacher, you better be careful being around those folks. If you step out on a limb, they'll pull the rug out from under you. Sometimes we just don't get it. Bad news. Well, let me tell you something. This climate at this particular point in the history of that part of the world was inundated with bad news. You know why? Rome was on the march. They were taking over. And that's the reason they were crying out, dear God, deliver us from this. Well, he already had his plan together, but the point is that there's a lot of bad news. So here comes the angel of the Lord, and hold on, don't be afraid. I have got some good news. You know what word we get from good news, by the way? What word that we actually get from that term, good, I have good news for? You know what word we get? Gospel. That's right. Euangelion. It's a word that means good news, great news. Well, that's what I want. I don't bet you today, but I'd like to have some good news. I'd like to have some good news. Well, guess what? The message of hope brings good news. Oh, yeah, even in the midst of a world of spinning, as y'all have said, bad news and chaos and catastrophe, yeah, but there's some good news. It's a message of hope. And so there's the Spirit, and there's one other thing. Notice that he also says great joy. He says, I'm going to bring you good news of what? Great joy. Now, can you, again, just for a moment, can you just sort of, in your mind or in your thoughts, describe what might be the opposite of joy? Sorrow. Despair. Anybody ever get discouraged? Guess what? In my other job, I'm meeting them every day on the phone, drinking coffee with them, taking them out to breakfast. I'm meeting pastors and people in the vocational ministry that have had it. And I look at them and I listen to them, and you know what I don't see? I don't see any joy. Does that mean the message is, well, the message is over. The message is faulty or is frail or it's got some kind of imperfection to it. Does that mean the message? No. No, it altogether means, do I step into the arena of what that message really means? And can I have joy regardless of the circumstances that are all around my life? Yeah. Well, that's the message. This is the message of hope. There's something else I want you to notice. If you will, look, not only the spirit of this message, but the scope of this message. Listen to what he says again in verse 10. And I don't know if you're one to sort of highlight, circle, underline, notation in your Bible, or maybe just take a little note down in that little study page that we've given you. But listen to this, and I'm going to emphasize it, okay? Y'all ready for this? Y'all look up at me. Y'all ready for this? This means yes. Good. Say amen. Okay, here we go. Ready? Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for, here come, all people. All people. Let's sing a little song. Ready? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. For Jesus loves the little children of the world. If you're a little children, would you raise your hand? Okay, now some of you just kind of, I don't know if I'm there. Yeah. I love the beginning of that. Jesus loves all the children of the world. All the children of the world. That's right. And that's the scope of this message of hope. You see some of those pictures that Mike pulled up for us on that video for the Volume and Christmas offering? It'll change your life. And so therefore, the scope of this message. And then, there is one other thing, if you'll notice, in this message of hope, is the what I call the sensitivity or the personalness of this message. If you look down at verse 11, after this angel is now calming their fears, bringing them good news, telling them that it's going to put fulfillment and joy in their heart, and it is for all people. Isn't that interesting that he said that to the shepherds? You ever thought about that? Isn't that interesting that heaven, the first announcement that heaven made in that regard is to a bunch of lowly, good-for-nothing, you know, flea-bitten, you know, scatty-looking shepherds. I know that sounds like, well, thank you very much. I'm a shepherd, by the way, David. But it is interesting, isn't it, that God speaks first to, and I think He did that intentionally so that they would understand and that you and I would understand and that everybody would understand that God doesn't play favorites. This is a message for everybody. It's for all people. And then finally, he says something about the sensitivity or the personalness of this in verse 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you. See how personal that is? I was reading that and just thinking about, why didn't the angel say, born for Israel? Or born for Bethlehem? Or born for... But no, he wants to make that personal. So here you are sitting in this place today, and you never realized. Me? Yeah, you. What? Yeah, you. People don't get that. Well, Jesus would never love me. Oh, how many times? I couldn't count on my fingers and toes. How many times in the years of ministry that I've been in Maryland, I've been involved in ministry, I cannot tell you how many times people have said, Jesus would never love me. Jesus could never save me. Guess what? There's a message. It's a message of hope. And it's so personal that the angel of the Lord tells a bunch of ragtag shepherds in a field somewhere out in Bethlehem, guess what, guys? This message is for you. I'm hearing somebody say it. That is grace. That's grace in its finest form. So there is a message of hope, and it has unlimited possibilities, and that's really what I mean as we're just talking about this Savior that has been born for you. Okay, so that's the action of heaven. But notice, if you've got your old study outline there, notice also that there is now the reaction of earth. An action and a reaction. God has spoken this message through His messenger, an angel of the Lord, and that message, full of hope, scopes out everybody and personalizes it to each and every one of us, and so there's got to be a reaction. There's got to be something. You got to do something with it. Isn't that interesting that we do that every day among a lot of different things? Let me just give you an example. You're standing at the counter. You're looking at all the incredible menu options as you are standing there at Hardee's. And it's all so scrumptious and so eloquently prepared. And if you work at Hardee's, I compliment you for that. Anyway, but there you are standing, and so you say, I'll take a number 2. And they say, would you like a cheese? No, thank you. But I would like to have an extra ketchup. And so I say, okay, that's $6.13. So you pull out $6 and you give them 13 cents and give you a little receipt back and you wait. And then the person comes up and they order their number 4, and here's somebody that's just wanting a milkshake, and the guy down there is wanting extra tea because his has gone dry. And so all of a sudden, here comes your order on a tray. And what do you do with it? Sit there and you stand there and you look at it. And the person on the other end of the counter, on the other side of the counter, said, here's your order. And push it a little closer to you. And you're just looking at it. And then they start looking at you. Then they start looking at other people behind the counter. And then now they're looking at you. They don't know what's getting ready to happen. But you just stand there and you look at it. Now you wouldn't do that, would you? More than likely, especially if it's lunchtime and you're hungry, you would not do that. You're going to respond to the offering that's been placed before you. Now, unlike that, God has done that for you and for me by giving us a gift, a present. And in His presence, He has made His presentation of what your need is and what my need is. And so it's time to react. Just like you would react when that tray comes, you go, you get it. Thank you very much. And they usually probably say, no problem. I don't want it to be a problem. Is it a problem? You'll find out that that's one of my little pet peeves in life. Anyway, there is, if you'll notice, in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 15, there is now a message from men to men. Now notice that this is a message given to be given away. Do you hear that? This is a message that is given in order or for the purpose of giving it away. It says in verse 15, when the angels had gone away from heaven, and by the way, it doesn't say the angels were singing. Just thought I'd throw that in there too. It's one of those things that we've always embraced and thought, you know, angels we have heard on high singing, blah, blah, blah. Well, it says they say stuff and make statements of things, but they didn't sing. I'm really ruining Christmas for you, aren't I? Sorry. You can let them sing if you desire, and that's good. Okay. When the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds began saying one to another, watch this, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. It's interesting to me how they found him. Ever wonder about how the shepherds found them? I mean, you remember what's happening in Bethlehem, don't you? The census being taken. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of people all crawling all over Bethlehem right now. And yet, the Bible says that they made their way, they found their way to Mary, Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And, watch this, verse 17. And when they had seen this, what they made known. They made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. They were given a gift for the purpose of receiving it and then giving it away. Give it to somebody else. Well, that kind of gives you a little bit of idea of what we can do with Christmas, is give it to somebody else in the truest sense that it is. And so, therefore, this message from men to men is a message given to be given away. Look at verse 18. It's also a message that was clearly heard when it was told. I love this in verse 18. And all who heard it, as they were telling, notice that, they made the statement known which had been told to them about this child. And all, we don't know who all is, but whoever all are, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Do you think they skewed the story from what they just saw, what they just experienced from the angels? No. They told them as accurately as they knew exactly what had happened. Angels came, they told us that there was going to be a child born in Bethlehem. He's going to be the Savior of the world. Let's give it away. And so that's what they did. They took this wonderful message and they gave it away to people that clearly heard that message. They clearly heard exactly what was happening. And then the final thing, look at verse 20. This is a message that changes a heart. It changes a life when it's received. I love this. When the shepherds went back, what were they doing? Well, the Bible says that they were glorifying, praising God for all that they had heard and seen just as it had been. So something happened in their life. They were changed. It doesn't say anything about these shepherds before, interestingly enough. And you know what's interesting? It doesn't say anything about them after. But it says something about them right then. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus, the present, and in God's incredible way of presenting Him, changes lives. He changes lives. That's what a present does. It has a way of changing someone's life. And then, of course, you have this wonderful message of hope, which is all what had just been experienced and what had just happened, which has unlimited possibilities. A message that has unlimited possibilities. Because everyone that hears it makes a decision. Which brings me back to the gift. Brings me back to the present. Okay? So, Mike? Now, I want you to know that this present is extremely important because it will change your life. Now, it doesn't really matter what it is, but if you were to receive this present, if you were to receive this, Mike, now, I played a little game with you. But here's what I want you to see in that little game that I just played with these folks. Did you notice what each one of them did if you were watching very carefully? What did they do? They were willing to receive the gift that was being presented to them. Willing. You see, that's what you can do with a gift. You can receive it. You could receive it. If it was presented in such a way, you could receive it. Or you could discard it. Turn your back on it. Not interested. Even in its presentation to you, you could say, I'm not interested. Don't need the gift. Don't bother. Not interested. Or any of you, all of you, could have said, as I would come to Zach, say, and he reaches out for it. But he says, wait a minute, preacher, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't know how much. How much did it cost? And let me pay you for it. First time I've ever had any money in my pocket. Yeah. Let me pay you for it. Let me earn it by doing something for you. Whatever you ask of me, in order to reach the value of that present, I will do it. You could do that. Or we could go back to our original and just simply say, here's the gift. Receive it freely. You see, that's heaven's viewpoint. That's what God did. He sent a gift, and He simply says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And so that's heaven's viewpoint, a presentation of all that this message portrays. And so I want to ask you to just quietly bow your heads with me for just a moment, and as you think about these truths and how God is speaking to your heart, perhaps maybe today there is that individual. Anne prayed that prayer earlier. Mike sang so beautifully this presentation of the hope that is in Christ Jesus. And now through these simple words about the hope, the message, the present that has been given to us from heaven, could it be that there's someone here today, just quietly, right now? Mike, come, would you do that? Just play quietly something on the guitar, if you would. Just give us a little background music and let us just have a moment of just a quiet little corner of our life right now. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never really quite understood that Christmas is all about, really, from heaven's viewpoint, a gift that God sent to you so that you might receive His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness for your sins. And as a result of that, He takes it. He gives you the gift of Himself, and in exchange, you give the gift of yourself to Him. And there's this beautiful exchange that occurs from heaven's viewpoint. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, are you here today? And that's the need of your life? Never received that present from heaven? Well, I've had a lot of Christmas experiences, have exchanged a lot of presents with a lot of other people, but I never knew that God sent me a gift. And that's His Son. Well, I'm going to be one like one of those shepherds right now. I'm going to tell you everything. As best I can, I'm going to tell you everything that has been told to me through the Scripture. And that is, God loves you. Loves you with such an everlasting love that He was willing to present to us the greatest gift that's ever been given. And that's His Son. Christmas 2015 could be a lot different for you if you've never received that gift. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're just quietly just thinking about the truths that we have expressed today. And maybe you're here today and you'd say, David, I really do. I really do need that. I want to make that decision in my life. I really want to get things right between me and God. I want that gift of grace that God gave in my life personally. Don't leave this earth. Don't leave this world without that gift. And so today, I bow my head before Holy God, and I simply say to Him, dear God, I have heard today that You gave the greatest gift I could ever receive. And I receive Your gift, the present of Jesus Christ, into my life. I give You my life with all of its sinfulness, and I thank You for loving and forgiving me. Could you have prayed for something like that? Sincerely, personally? As this message of hope spoken to your life and said something to you, perhaps today as never before, and today is the day that you would say, I'm getting right with God, and He has come into my life. I trust if you've made that decision, that you'd be willing in just a moment get out of your seat, just come up here, take me by the hand, say, David, I've given my life to Jesus. I prayed that prayer, and I rejoice in receiving that present that He has given. Maybe you're here today and God's just been moving upon your heart about this fellowship, about being a part of this fellowship. Well, whatever God tells you to do, you do it. We're going to start doing the book. We'll start just being obedient and just do the book. If God tells you to do something, then you do it. So with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one's looking around. Everyone is in sweet time of meditation and prayer. Now the mic plays quietly, just through the chords of this music. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's a decision, whatever that decision is, maybe you need someone to pray with you about a need in your life or a need that you know of, and you just want to come down here and say, Pastor, would you pray with me about a family situation or a personal situation or whatever it might be? Maybe you're a person that needs prayer. Could I invite you right now, just the next few moments, would you, whatever that decision is, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just get up from where you're sitting. Just get up from where you're sitting. Come down. Maybe a personal time of getting down at these front chairs or at this little altar area, and you just want to get before God and just pray. My place too quietly now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People are just doing exactly what you're doing. Just spending time alone with God. But have you made that decision? Would you come right now? Thoughts. It's my prayer that this simple presentation from heaven, albeit the orchestration of a divine, holy, sovereign God from eternity past, you put it all together. And like the shepherds, we want to just glorify you and praise you for what you've done. And I pray, Father, that if that message has hit the heart of a man or a woman here today, and they quietly have received that presence, that gift from you, may we rejoice in the moments or even the days to come, Father, with them as they have made that decision. Thank you for this time. Would you bless it now, Lord God, as we go from this place into this beautiful afternoon. I pray that we're going to be people too, that we have been given this gift. We've been given this message. Help us to give it away to someone else. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name.